Joining us now, he is the head coach at BYU as the Cougars have jumped out to a 4-0 start to kick off the 2021 season. Kalani Sitake joins us now. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
It's good to catch up with you again. Congratulations on the 4-0 start. And I know that second half was a dogfight for your team, but we just played a quote from your press conference after the game where, you know, you got to mention that, hey, look, winning in college football is not easy. And sometimes it may get a little ugly at times, but regardless of how it ends, if you get the W, you got to celebrate it.
That's right. And I mean, you look at all throughout college football. I mean, it's called respecting the game, you know, and your opponents, and you're going to get their best shot. You have to assume that you're going to get their best shot, and then you just need to make sure that you get yours out there as well. And I don't know if we did that, but at the same time, I don't want to disrespect South Florida and the things that they did and their game plan, because I thought it worked really well for them, you know, we feel like there's a lot of places that we can improve on. After watching the film and reviewing it, I'm really motivated with the fact that our guys played really hard, had high energy. I just saw a lot of mistakes because guys are pressing, trying to do too much. And that's an easier fix for me than trying to get them to play harder, you know. So if it means just trusting their teammates and doing their 1/11th, I think that's going to be the focus this week, and I think we'll play better.
So, Coach, there's an observation that needs to really be talked about, and that is the quarterback position in the last really 3 years. Watching Baylor Romney come in as a backup quarterback and play accurate, confident, and sound scheme-wise football is a testament to Aaron Roderick, where he had Jaren Hall prepared, obviously Zach Wilson last year prepared, and now you see Baylor come in, and he looks prepared. I think that a lot of praise needs to be dished out for the new offensive coordinator at BYU, Aaron Roderick. What have you told him, and what are you seeing from your new coordinator?
Well, I mean, I've been around him for a long time as a teammate of ours, you know, and so in my coaching career, I've been around him. Most of my coaching career, we've been together at Southern Utah and Utah now here. And so I know what he can do. And when we got here, I asked him to get that quarterback room deep and to have them all ready and to play as many as we need to if it comes to that. And he that's what he does, man. He gets his guys ready. He gets them prepared for the game. And I have to give a lot of credit to Baylor and to Jaren and the guys that they are. But, you know, A-Rod knows how to pick quarterbacks. He knows how to talk to them. He knows how to mentor them and bring them along the way. And the proof is in what he does, not just here but in his career, how he's mentored and prepared a lot of quarterbacks. I think what we're trying to do is just try to make sure that we have a deep group, and that there's competition there constantly. But the fact that they all work well together and they're all great friends and they support each other, that's a huge testament to A-Rod's leadership and how he runs that room. I think the guys know how to communicate with him. They know what the expectations are. They know the standard. And so far, it's working out really well for us.
Baylor played really, really well against South Florida, but do you anticipate Jaren Hall will be on the field in Logan against Utah State?
Well, he's going to return to practice, and we'll see how it goes. All we can do is use the guys that are on the practice field, see how they prepare during the week, and then make a decision towards the end when we get closer to the game who's ready, who's probably not quite there yet, and that's in every position. It's not just the quarterback position, but it's in every position. We're dealing with that with kickers. We're dealing that with D linemen. It's a matter of where are these guys back as far as back to their 100% self compared to where they're at currently, and can we project them to get there by the time we get to Friday's game. And that's hard for me to say right now on Monday, but we're going to go out there and practice and see how it goes from there.
You announced Keenan Peely as a season-ending situation. Was there anybody coming out of that game Saturday night that was a season-ending situation?
No. And so we're still – I mean, there's some guys – I think Caleb Christensen is going to be out for some time, you know, which is sad because we wanted him to go back home to Logan and play in that game. But You know, other than that, we have guys that are banged up. This is we're after game four. There's a lot of guys that are banged up and healing, and so no one yet right now as of now gone for the year.
Kalani Sitake joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Let's talk a little bit about Utah State, what you've seen out of this team. I know it's still early in the week, but they've jumped out to a 3-0 start, a setback against Boise State, but seems like Blake Anderson has really had that team re-energized. What jumps out when you look at what they've been able to do in their quick turnaround from last year?
Well, they believe in their players. They believe in their system. And then you see it in the way that they take the field and you know, it's interesting to see how they're motivated they are to play and play for each other. And so I see that. I've had great interaction with Blake Anderson and seen the type of man that he is, and he's put himself together a really good staff that obviously cares about the players and are trying to, you know, get their culture running. And so it works, and it's worked so far with them getting three wins early in the year, and I think that Boise State game is probably something that's a little bit of an anomaly where it's not their normal self. You know, they gained tons of yards, but they didn't get as many points as I know they would like. And so, you know, they have every bit of our attention right now. And watching the film, we can see some great players on there making some great plays and explosive plays. And it's not just on offense, on defense, they're really active, high pressure. I think Anthony Tucker does a great job with the offense, and Banda's doing a great job with the defense. And so it's looking like a dangerous team right now. And we're looking forward to that matchup. But we have a lot of work to do this week in order to get up there and play the way we want to Friday night against Utah State.
So I went back and watched the second half of that South Florida game and specifically watched the defensive side, Kalani, and I actually had to pull up a team roster because I hadn't seen Jackson Fisher or John Nelson or Blake Mangelson or really a lot of Morgan Piper or Drew Jensen. I'd seen some Ben Bywater, but he's just a freshman. By the way, all of those are freshmen except for Morgan Piper and Drew Jensen. They're sophomores. Then you got Jacob Robinson out there, Ammon Hanneman, both freshmen. There was a lot of youth on the field in the second half of that game against South Florida. Was that by design? Was that out of necessity? Just give us your thoughts on those, that many freshmen on the field against South Florida.
Yeah, well, we lost a lot of veterans, and so our team is pretty young. You know, we have a young team overall, and on defense, when you're missing, leaders and guys that you, I mean, even Keenan Peely, as far as football years, has tons of eligibility. You know, same with Peyton Wilgar and others on our team. So it's not a very old team, but there's a lot of great players on there. We just have to, you know, when we have injuries and guys aren't 100%, we're not going to play with certain D linemen if they haven't had an opportunity to put pads on in practice. That's just, it doesn't do them any good by getting to the game on Saturday and then expecting them to go out there and perform when they haven't had an opportunity to even perform against our scout team. And so we had to hold some guys out because of that, but that's just, everyone's doing that. So it's part of the game, you know, where you have to deal with your depth, and it just happens that a lot of our young guys, our depth, we're tapping into a freshman and sophomores and maybe not a lot of experience, but you know, it was a good experience for them to make plays and try to find a way to get out of drives in South Florida. They didn't do as well as I know they wanted to. But like I said earlier, it's a lot of pressing. Guys trying to do too much, which, you know, Hans, that's a youth thing, right? That's a young yep. guys. Like when you're supposed to have contain and then you try to take off and try to chase it from the backside, that's just a young guy learning. And unfortunately, you have to learn sometimes with experience, and it's good that we have all this film to teach them, and hopefully they a little bit more disciplined when it gets to the game on Friday and when they get on the field, because we're going to need to rely on our depth, and those guys have to grow up really fast.
You enjoy going to Logan and playing? Always a fun atmosphere up there.
Yeah, I love it, man. After last year and not having fans at all, it's just nice to have people in the stands The energy, and you know, and have tons of respect for Utah State and their fan base and their coaches and the alumni that come from there. I mean, we know this is a rivalry game. I've enjoyed it when I was a player. I enjoyed going up there and playing that game, and it's a lot of fun, man. That's what college football is all about, is going to an opposing team and their stadium and just a cool environment for our players to get used to. And some of these guys haven't been into an environment like that. And so looking forward to seeing them get on the field and having this opportunity to play in front of Utah State's fans and their student section. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
I know you've got plenty of experience in that stadium. If I'm not mistaken, going back to your senior year, didn't Utah State take you into double overtime that year?
Wait a minute. I think you need to say we. I think you were on that team.
I can't even. You know what? Like, I don't know what it is. My memory is so gone that you probably have to remind me more. It's one of those things, Hans, where you're like, hey, you remember when this happened? And I need some more follow-up. But yeah, I just remember having some really, really good battles with
some
Utah
brawls.
State.
Brawls up there.
Just having some great. I mean, it was so much fun. I just like that. I like the energy. I like the whole atmosphere of college football. I think Logan's such a cool town, man. Such a cool college setting town. I'm just for college football, and I'm just really honored that we get to play this game Friday night in front of national TV and in front of a national wide audience. And it's gonna be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. I want our guys to show up there and have fun with the moment, and we'll see what happens at the end.
Was there a moment where you felt like you might be a coach up there? Because I think Gary recruited you to get up there back in 2009, I believe.
Yeah, I thought I was going to go up there and was looking at some places to possibly, buy and some real estate out there when we were at Utah and making the move. I have more respect for that place than I think a lot of people know, and it just happens to have the field has the Olsen name on it, so Hans is connected to that place. There's a lot of great connections with Logan, with Utah State and BYU and the fan base and the families and everybody that's involved, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun watching them play the first four games of the season and seeing some really cool things from that team and from that program. So looking forward to being up there. I'm glad the kickoff's not at 10 a.m., but I'm looking forward to it being loud and having a lot of fun with everything.
Coach, you've got a lot of background experience as a defensive coordinator, and I know that you really give a lot of leeway and respect to what Elisa Tuiaki wants to do and comments on. But I want to get your thoughts really quickly on these high-paced offenses where you're looking at Utah State and 80 snaps. Does that take away an ability to be more creative defensively? Do you have to run more base? How do you work and manage that in such a short period of time to throw in a play call? And what does that do to a defense?
Yeah, I mean, the high pace, it can be disruptive for a defense to get ready for. But at the same time, there's a lot of teams that are doing it. I think Utah State does it at a faster rate than most. I'd have to say they're one of the fastest in the country right now. But it's really impressive that they can get lined up and do that. And it messes with your depth. It messes with your rotation. You're right. You probably can't do a lot of different calls and different things that you want to do. But we're going to try. That's part of the game, is that we don't want the offense to take away as much of our innovation and creativity on defense, but at the same time, they really stress you. So it's going to be kind of a fun thing for us, that we're going to run two huddles on scout defense and try to get ready for it, because it's going to be quicker than you think, and that kind of happens sometimes when you're not used to it. And we've had some experience with no huddle and fast-paced offense. There's not as fast as what we've seen with Utah State so far.
Utah State featuring a couple of receivers pretty good, in particular number 13 Devin Tompkins. What have you seen out of that young man and that core of receivers that seem to find a way to get open more often than not?
Yeah, tons of speed, man. I think you're looking at Devin Tompkins and Bowling. Those guys can play right. McGriff is a big, long body that poses matchup problems. And then you complement that with a really good run game and then a physical O-line. And they're really coached well. So the whole offense is coached well at all angles. And so you know that they're going to have their guys ready. You know, we need to do our part, and I know it's going to be a tough matchup, but we're looking forward to it. They have a guy named Chucky Keaton that knows a lot of, has familiarity with us as well as an opponent on their staff. And they got guys that know football, especially in the state, and are more familiar with BYU, like Al Abuajo and DJ Tialavea. Those guys are on their staff, and they do a good job. You can just see all together those guys do a great job coaching, and that's a huge credit to what Blake Anderson's doing with his team and with his staff. And you can see him establishing that type of culture and that type of expectations from their staff and their players. But a lot of explosiveness from that wide receiver group. And then I don't think you should overlook the tight ends. They have some explosiveness and athleticism as well.
Well, Coach, Scotty and I are down here to Built Bar, and we are enjoying one of these cookie dough chunk Built Bars.
We're about 10 bars into the show already.
I got to tell you, Coach, if I would have had these Built Bars when we were at BYU, I would have got better grades. Because I'm not kidding you. I used to sit in class and think about lifting a grilled cheese sandwich from the inner track there next to our football offices. And instead, I could have been eating one of these Built Bars and been focused with all the proteins coursing through my body. Do you guys love these? How many of these do you put down every day?
We do. I mean, and that's they're a great sponsor for us. And then we're just thankful that we have the resources and the administration that allows us to take care of these players as much as we can and as much as they're allowed. So that's I'm really thankful that we get to take care of these players. And I'm always, you know me, I'm always going to do whatever I can to get the players as much as they possibly can to make sure that we basically fill their cup with, I think, with resources. If you can do that for them, then it makes their experience a lot better. Makes a lot easier. And you know, Hans, whenever I hear the word hangry, I think the definition of it should be your picture, because when you were in college and you were hungry, it was the biggest, you're probably the worst guy to hang out with, and we just knew that to throw you something to eat and you would be in a better mood. So that's imagine if you would have just had all these protein bars available to you. You would never have a day of being angry at all. So you're right. You had great grades and you would have had a great experience overall, because we know one thing, and Amanda will tell you this too, but when Hans is hungry, watch out. Everybody just tread lightly.
Kalani, I have made so many sandwich, the place that delivers. I have done that so many times in the middle of a show because Hans is upset about something, and I know it'll change his mood like that. And I'm not even joking. That's 100% true.
Yeah, give him a cheese sandwich and then watch him smile.
Yep.
That's just how it works.
Yep.
Oh, man. Hey, Coach, I'm proud of the start that you've got. Back-to-back 4-0 starts has never been done in the history of BYU. Keep it up. We know that you'll stay laser focused. Cannot wait. I can't wait to watch this game in Logan. I think it's going to be an epic game come Friday night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm honored to be a part of it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Kalani Sitake right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.